Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, let me tell you that if I sound strange today, any stranger than usual, it's because I hear myself in a rather odd fashion because my sinuses are doing all sorts of numbers on me. So I think if ET ever lands, the first assignment for ET, if ET decides to accept it,
yeah.
Fix human sinuses. After that, human teeth. I mean, if you consider the situation now, I was reading a story the other day that a record number of people are getting false teeth. I am not among them. I still have most of my original teeth, but a record number of people are getting false teeth. So what is there about Mother Nature that makes our teeth so vulnerable that we have to give it constant care? How's your teeth, Chris?
Oh, man. I've had so many problems over the years. I had two sets of wisdom teeth. They had extra roots, and they were hooked.
You see what I mean? My wife has all her teeth. She's done well. Of course, they now advertise on TV these special one-day tooth implant schemes, okay? The problem with that, though, is that I think they cost like $10,000, $20,000. So if you have $10,000 or $20,000 to throw around, you could have all your teeth replaced in one day. So if ET ever decides to solve our problems, not just global warming, warfare, nuclear weapons, deal with the teeth, ET. I don't hear of any contacts.
Yeah, but they don't have teeth.
They don't.
Well, not the little gray guys. They don't have teeth, do they? I think they absorb nutrients through their skin, according to some contactee.
Well, that's a way of giving a toothless grin.
Yeah, and they supposedly excrete bodily waste through their skin. Imagine hugging one of those at the wrong time of day.
This is the grisliest episode of the Paracast we've ever done.
And sinuses, they just got these two little tiny nose slits. So I don't think they're going to be able to help you there either.
Yeah, I mean, the sinuses are shot today. That's it.
You don't qualify as having two little nose slits.
I have something. I have a standard New York Jewish nose.
Yes, but we digress.
No, we're getting too nosy here. As I was prepping for today's episode, featuring the director, producer, filmmaker, everything, a project about the Montauk Chronicles, covering the Montauk Project, which allegedly occurred at a military base now closed in Montauk, New York, which is on the very tip of Long Island. It's a place where the rich and famous go on vacation. That's one thing about it. And there are lots of legends about this. But I started thinking, where did I first become acquainted with this legend? Now, not to confuse anybody, but the Montauk Project is in some ways said to be connected to the Philadelphia Experiment. And it was back in the late 1950s, 60s. Shows you how old I am. When there was a story regarding the curious treatment of a copy of a book called The Case for the UFOs. Now, The Case for the UFOs was written by a guy named M.K. Jessup, Morris K. Jessup.
The Vero edition.
I was just going to get to that. Now, M.K. Jessup was an auto parts salesman and amateur astronomer with the same name as a famous astronomer. This is very confusing. So he came out with this book, and then they get this weird copy of this book annotated by some guy who calls himself Carlos Allende, all right? And eventually some government agency prints a few hundred copies of this book with all the annotations intact. And that circulated quietly in the UFO field. The annotations were all wacky, but part of it concerns something called the Philadelphia Experiment, which supposedly occurred back in 1943, allegedly involving invisibility. Now, just to get things straight here, there really was some kind of experimentation back in the 40s, and it was involved making these ships harder to detect by traditional measuring instruments. Not invisible, but that's the stuff of legend. In any case, so it became an invisibility project. So that's the story. And the Vero edition, this is the annotated edition of the case of the UFO, was finally published by Gray Barker back in the late 50s or early 60s. All right? That takes us to 1974. Charles Berlitz, the grandson of the founder of the Berlitz Language Schools, gets involved in writing books about UFOs and the paranormal. And he has this book out called The Bermuda Triangle, subtitled An Incredible Saga of Unexplained Disappearances. And this was a best-selling book, by the way, one of the rare best-selling books about a paranormal subject. So I interviewed Berlitz for a cable TV show, and we talked. And during the course of the show, he mentioned the annotated edition, the Vero edition of The Case for the UFO. And he said, you know, no one's found the copy. And I looked at him. He had these twinkling eyes, and there was always something going on there. And you always felt he knew more than he was saying. And he was having fun with you. So I said, you know, I have a copy of it. And he said, you do? So at the end of the show, we went for dinner. And I talked to him about it. And I gave him a copy of the Gray Barker edition of Case for the UFO. And in one or more of his subsequent books, I actually got named in the book as a source. Got lots of free lunches, no free money.
Okay. You know, in my first knowledge of potential kind of just strange things going on in Montauk, I'm not exactly sure what year it was. It was sometime in the late 70s, early 80s, if memory serves me correct. I remember I was going in on the subway, going to my job in Manhattan. I was coming down the Lexington line, the number 6 train, and you know, I'd always get a copy of the paper, the New York Times, and I'd read it on the way in. And I remember this strange article about, I guess it had been the night before, possibly two nights before, that all the cats in Montauk went berserk. And it was a real news story, in the New York Times. And I remember reading this thinking, how bizarre. What could possibly cause everyone's cats to just totally freak out and go wiggy? And I remember thinking to myself, I got to get out to Montauk and do some poking around, which I did. I went out to Montauk, went around the old abandoned, I think it was a radar station, had these huge antenna there and these what appeared to be abandoned buildings. And, you know, so I went and, of course, visited the pyramids on the beach there that are rather enigmatic. And that really put Montauk on the radar for me. And it wasn't until, you know, 10 or more years later when the Montauk books started coming out featuring Preston Nichols and I think authored by Peter Moon, if memory serves me correct. It's been a long time. I remember thinking to myself, you know, the place looks abandoned. It doesn't seem like there's really anything going on there. And subsequent visits out there, I remember we'd poke around. So I've always had this fascination with the Montauk subject matter, although I don't really buy into all the ins and outs.
Well, the director of Montauk Chronicles is Christopher, another Christopher, folks, Garitano, and he's the writer, director, and producer of the film. And he's here to explain why he got involved in this very, very unusual project, the Montauk Chronicles. And by the way, we have an unusual second radio show called After the Paracast. And if you want to get that show, you have to join the Paracast Plus. Go to plusplus.theparacast.com, plusplus.theparacast.com. After the Paracast is an open-ended show, no ads, from 25 to 40 minutes. We have guests sometimes. Sometimes we finish discussions started on the Paracast, and sometimes it's just open-ended talks about anything. Plus.theparacast.com. You get the ad-free version of this show And if you join for a year or more, a copy of Stalking the Tricksters by Chris O'Brien, the ebook version, plus drparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com. Onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government when you can be truly independent with Liberty HealthShare, a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care? Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. Liberty HealthShare. Together, we are one.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this is our first exploration on the Paracast into the Montauk Project. And it's not just a vacation place for the rich and the famous, or just the rich. Christopher Garantano is the writer, producer, director of Montauk Chronicles, Welcome to the PowerCast, Christopher. And the first question I would have for you is, what drew you to this particular possibility for making a documentary movie?
Well, I was always interested in the paranormal, and I wanted to make a docudrama about one of the subjects that I was originally familiar with, but a friend of mine who I actually befriended while I was making my first film, he was one of the subjects, and he knew I was from Long Island, and he suggested, why not the Montauk Project? Well, I was aware of the books in the 90s, and I wasn't very interested because I read the very first book by Preston Nichols, and I felt the information was thin, and it didn't hold much water, and so I moved on from it. But there was one prospect that really interested me, and it was actually being able to visit the men who originated the tale. You know, there were only three or four men that were telling this tale for 20 years, and right now there's people coming out in droves saying they were part of it. But back then there were just a few people. And I thought it would be an interesting subject to go and actually be there in the living room of the men who tell this tale so I could look them in the eyes, because I thought it was just such a, you know, like a Z-grade science fiction story, especially the way it was portrayed in that book.
A little over the top.
I remember, of course, they did a movie about the Philadelphia Experiment back in the 1980s. Very, very loosely based on all those legends, plus, of course, the Charles Burles book. Now, the Montauk Project, I first heard about it from a guy named Bielek.
Yeah, that's Al Bielek, Alfred Bielek. And I actually, you know, he passed away in 2011, but I visited him at his home at that time in Fort Myers, Florida. And the interview you see in my picture is the one I shot with Al that afternoon in 06. Interesting guy, because he was on a lot of programs in the, I guess, the late 80s or even during the 90s that regarded the Philadelphia Experiment. And he was on, it was one of them was a History Channel program in the 90s where he was just listed as a historian, later on claiming that, and this is really another elaborate tale, that he was age-regressed three times. At some point in one of his earlier embodiments, he was a man named Ed Cameron. He was on the actual Eldridge. He claimed he was on the USS Eldridge, but in a different body or in a different form.
Oh, yes, I heard some of this on the original Coast to Coast radio show with Art Bell. And it was a fascinating story, but I guess the question I have here is, do we give Al Bielek any credibility? Not to disparage the dead, of course.
I know, it's hard to say because, and this is something I've been wrestling with, you know, I didn't make Montauk Chronicles to lie to people, and I really wanted to find something. Now, I knew finding evidence in this case is very difficult. So credible witness, in my opinion, is a wonderful thing, especially investigating the paranormal or a conspiracy. So to sit with Al and to be honest, and I was very honest in the picture, was to allow the audience to see what I was seeing. You know, Al, in a three-hour period, said everything from the fact that he was in a different body on the USS Eldridge to vampires were real. You know, I mean, he said all of this in one shot.
Boy, he doesn't stop, does he?
No, no. And Preston was the same. You know, he had so many tales to tell, too many to fit in a two-hour movie about specifically the Montauk Project. Now, I didn't go in as a blatant skeptic, but I needed to keep an open mind. At the same time, I had to be very cautious because there's just so much information being given and no artifacts. No.
Well, you know what we should do, Christopher, because it is a very complicated subject. And I wanted to just ground people with Al Bielek because everybody will look him up online to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that is, let's go back to the very beginning here. Let's start the story for people who don't know what I'm talking about, except, once again, to look at Montauk Point as a place where people go to vacation. So originally, there was a military base over there. Let's start the story at the very beginning.
Sure. On the very eastern tip of Long Island, New York, it's about 150 miles east of New York City, lies the Camp Hero Air Force Base in a somewhat isolated town called Montauk. In the summertime, it's a real happening place. It's been that way for many years. It's vacationers go there because the beaches are great. It's right on the ocean. Fishing is great. There are hotels and motels everywhere and resorts. But in the winter, the place is desolate. And it's also a very small town, a small population. There is an Air Force base there. I spent my summers there when I was a kid. And because of the foliage and because of the way everything is configured, I never really noticed the actual radar tower, the SAGE radar tower. And it wasn't until I was making this picture that I got that close to see it. But the story goes that in 1971, between 1971 and 1983, after the Air Force moved out of the facility, or at the very least, unbeknownst to the operations going on, the light operations going on topside, because there wasn't really anything heavy happening since World War II, there was a secret facility deep beneath the surface of the Camp Hero Air Force Base. And within that facility, experiments ranging from mind control, where runaway kids were kidnapped and murdered during these experiments, to reverse engineering of alien technology, to time travel and interdimensional and interplanetary, interstellar travel. All of this occurring, and extraterrestrials working underneath the ground along with the humans.
Now, just to put this in perspective, this is not a proven fact as what is claimed, right?
No, absolutely not. It's all based on witness testimony, and there are very few. But recently, a lot of people are coming out saying they were either victims of the experiments and they're survivors of the experiments, or they may have been there, or they knew someone that was there, which is quite interesting to me because for almost 30 years or so, the only people telling this tale were three or four men.
Do you think it's because of the publicity this got? Was this after the film came out or before you released the film?
Here's the story. I made two movies, one that was completed in late 2011 that I toured around for a year. And I wasn't happy with it, so I went back and made another. It was during the time where I was putting out trailers on the internet, Huffington Post did an article. That's really when a lot of new witnesses were surfacing. In my opinion, I did not see many before that, and it was still somewhat of an obscure story before 06. Now, you know, Hollywood's getting their hands on it, and they're making a TV drama, and I'm sure movies will follow, and, you know, rightfully so. It's an untouched territory for movies, really, outside of my own.
Of course, now that they're bringing the X-Files back, this is a good time for it. Christopher Garitano is the writer, producer, director of Montauk Chronicles, and we're trying to paint the picture of what this crazy story is all about. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the people. Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Okay, honey, I have to ask, and be honest here. Have you been taking a little blue pill? Because things have been pretty good in the bedroom lately.
No, I swear.
You didn't pick anything up at the Pharmacia last month in Cancun?
No.
Well, something's different.
I have been taking that heart and body extract you bought me.
But that's for your heart and to control your cholesterol.
Well, I read HB extract also promotes healthy prostate function.
I never guessed it would work this well, but...
But you're glad it did.
Oh, yeah.
Heart and body extract is a 100% organic formula that promotes a strong heart, healthy arterial flow, better circulation, improves erectile and prostate gland function, and provides youthful energy, strength, and stamina. Find out more at heartandbodyextract.com. Heart and Body Extract paired with healthy heart choices is a winning combination. Call toll-free to order or for free information. 1-866-295-5305. 1-866-295-5305.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Getting a good view of a sore throat can be difficult, but the new doctor-recommended sore throat exam kit from SayAhNow.com makes it easy. A first-of-its-kind, scientifically designed oral retractor to relax the tongue, minimize gag reflex, and increase visibility. Our made-in-the-USA kit also includes a medical-grade reference chart, easy-to-use website and app so that you're one click away from unparalleled sore throat information. Click SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, a must-have for your family's medical preparedness.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have a second Christopher. So therefore, our Christopher reverts to his birth name, KK. So with Gene and KK, Christopher Garitano of the Montauk Chronicles. And you're telling us here that as you got publicity about the film and put trailers online, more and more people came out of the woodwork. Now, when this happens, do you take these people seriously, or is it just people who are trying to get a little glory, want to attach themselves to something that looks like a really wild story?
From my experience, it's a combination of both. I mean, I know for a fact there are a few people out there that fabricated this for attention. On the other hand, I spent time with a gentleman who required that his identity be concealed in my movie, so he used the name James Bruce. And I've spent time around him personally, and I believe that at the very least he believes this 100%. Also, it seems like he's recollecting things that I just personally feel like he couldn't have made up. I mean, he may have read this, he may have seen it in a movie. I don't know, because it's so difficult. There's really no evidence. But the one thing that has happened out of this, and it's in line with what we're discussing right now, is that I was on Coast to Coast AM earlier this year, and shortly after that I was contacted by a person who worked, and I won't say what company it was, for a major chemical company in the 70s up until the 80s. And this person claims that they saw documents that were being sent from this major chemical company for a very experimental alloy that was being sent not only to Brookhaven Labs, but to Camp Hero. We're at a time where nothing should be sent to this place because it was defunct. So this might be the small, tiny little piece of evidence that could lead to the truth. None of this person's stories are attached to any of the sci-fi-esque elements. It's just, I saw documents. They were connected. They're in line with names and places that Preston Nichols was talking about. So there is a connection here. And if you're going to believe anything, you know, this might be the piece of evidence here. So I'm going to follow through with that. And this is very recent. This is only in the last few months.
Okay, let's look back through the history here. So we have this military base, the Montauk Air Force Station, Camp Hero. Is there any official documentation about it, or is it just an abandoned base?
Well, there is documentation. You know, it ranges all the way back to the early settlers. When it was transferred over and eventually became an official military base, it was Fort Hero. Then it eventually became Camp Hero, which was an Air Force base after the Army Air Corps became the Air Force. Before that, in World War II, and then leading on throughout until satellite technology was in place, because that's what the SAGE radar tower was there for. It was being used. And we have record of everything officially that Camp Hero was being used for. It was also being used as a protection on the East Coast because, you know, the U.S. was worried about a Nazi invasion. So there are bunkers intact still to this day where 16-inch guns, those large cannons, were set to defend the United States, the East Coast. All of that's on record, and I spent a large amount of time in the Montauk Library sifting through the archives. A lot of it was just about the land itself after 1983 and what was being done with it, what they were planning on doing with the base itself. But right now you can literally, you know, unlike Groom Lake and unlike Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and a lot of these other places that are classified, you can go to Camp Hero today. You can walk around the grounds. You can explore. I think security is getting a little tighter because this subject matter is very popular right now. But it is a state park. You can literally camp out overnight with a permit, go fishing, and spend a lot of time exploring the area. What has been said, though, is that the facility is deep underneath the ground, which is, to this day, we found hatchways and things that led to something, but they were all cemented shut. And, of course, if we tried to jackhammer these things open, we'd be arrested because there is security patrolling the area to see if anybody's breaking into the tower, which we found our way in the film.
Well, you know, let's look at Montauk as a location. You know, I've done, being kind of an ex-New Yorker, I lived in the New York area from the mid-70s through the mid-80s and went out to Montauk on a number of occasions. And, you know, my curiosity was really, I don't know, kind of peaked when I mentioned this before you came on. I read the article in the New York Times about all the cats going crazy one night in Montauk. And this was a real news story, and I just thought it was quite unusual. And it set me on course to research the area out there. And there are some very interesting myths and legends that have come down through the generations that Montauk is a very special place. There's an interesting history of unusual occurrences there. For instance, I think what didn't Aleister Crowley summon Lamb in 1919 in the Montauk area, if memory serves me correct. There you have those strange pyramid formations out there. What sort of research have you done into the past, you know, into the fairly distant past about strange anomalies and other types of myths and legends that have been attached to the location there?
Oh, I mean, I've heard it all, you know, in almost a decade. I've heard all of the stories. A good deal of them, though, you know, are lacking in evidence. And what my goal from the beginning with this was to walk in as an observer and collect information for the audience. So there are too many documentaries regarding the paranormal that are just built on conjecture. And my thing was, okay, I might not ever have any evidence for this, and maybe that shouldn't be my goal. So I came in and I did a large amount of research as I went along. But for the most part, I wanted to go in clean. I wanted to forget that the books existed because I wasn't adapting any of those books. They weren't in line with what my desire was for this picture. So I wanted to start fresh. I was basically the first person to really interview these guys in a sense where they were exposed, their emotions were exposed, because they all kind of get very emotional in this film, and I just wanted to make them feel comfortable and hear their story. What I found to be most interesting was all, like you were just suggesting, all of the tales like Aleister Crowley and the fact that the Project Paperclip Nazi scientists went over to Montauk. You know, we have proof that Project Paperclip existed, but that's a different thing. And there's so much association with the Montauk Project that people insist, well, this is directly connected to the Philadelphia experiment. People insist, oh, Project Paperclip and MK Ultra turned into this. Well, we don't know that. So I was very cautious as I go along. And even when I do these shows, I want to be careful as to what I say. I want to stay in line with my original intentions with this film, was to never join in on the association bandwagon. Yeah, there's a lot of information out there about Montauk, and there are a lot of legends, and there's a lot of history, and they say it's a quartz base, and all of these things are, you know, it has energetic ley lines that go over to the pyramids at Giza. I've heard everything. What is it true? Oh, also there is direct lines to Stonehenge from Montauk, possibly. But my thing is, I wanted to collect information from the men who originated this tale. The three men in my film are the only reason why anyone's talking about this Montauk Project. These are the guys that started the whole thing. So I wanted to hear their story.
Okay, now the thing I never understood here before we get into a very complicated story is, how does the Philadelphia Experiment legend work into the Montauk Project? Now, I've talked about the Philadelphia Experiment prior to the time you came on, because I knew Charles Berlitz, and I saw this Vero edition of the case for the UFO that led people to speculate about the Philadelphia Experiment. Also, Jacques Vallée mentioned, with regard to the Philadelphia Experiment, that they did do experimentation back in 1943 with the USS Eldridge, the ship involved, trying to make it possible to use some kind of anti-magnetic system so that it would be harder to detect the ships. Which is great in work, because if you can't be seen, at least electronically, you have a better chance of reaching your target. We've got more to come. Christopher Garitano is the producer, director, writer of Montauk Chronicles. A weird story, indeed. More to come. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There, you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guy, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So we continue talking about Montauk Chronicles and the background of the Philadelphia Experiment. So I assume, Christopher, that you looked into this background of the Philadelphia Experiment, too. Now, of course, we know that the fiction version of it, of course, is people go back and forth through time, and trying to make the ship less visible to the enemy was an invisibility experiment. How did that come to be?
Well, the story goes, and as much as we know about the USS Eldridge and the Philadelphia experiment, and there are eyewitness testimonies, and there are a lot of great things to go on, it still hasn't been proven. The original story is that the Eldridge, there was an experiment that was designed to cloak the Eldridge from radar.
Cloaking device.
Yes, yes. And then somehow the Eldridge disappeared. This is in 1943. Now, how it's connected to the Montauk Project, and not only did it disappear, but when it did reappear, the men that were on the ship, some of them became part of the fuselage, some of them were transparent and walking around, some of them were lost forever, and this is what is claimed to have happened. Alfred Bielek, who claims that he was a large, integral part of the Montauk Project, says he was also on the USS Eldridge. And here's the connection. He said that when the Eldridge disappeared in 43, and if you look at the log lines in the Montauk timeline, the Camp Hero timeline for the Montauk Project, it was 1983, exactly 40 years later, that the Camp Hero experiment exploded, because that's when Alfred Bielek, Preston Nichols, and Duncan Cameron crashed the project to destroy it, to stop it from controlling the populace. In 1983, just off of Montauk Point, where Camp Hero is located, they say that the Eldridge once disappeared in 43, reappeared at Montauk Point in 1983, right off the coast, then disappeared again and went back to 43. This is the connection, in so many words, that Alfred Bielek says the Eldridge has. Not only that, he was also on the Eldridge in different form. It's a lot of information to take in.
His argument, of course, is that he occupied another body then. How old was he really?
Oh, he said he was well over 150 years old when I spoke to him. Now, I recall when I was a kid, my grandmother was taking a blood thinner. Her skin was bleeding. Al's skin was bleeding in the same manner, but he said to me, and in many of the interviews that I shot when I spent some time out in Fort Myers, that his molecular structure was breaking down because of the age regression, and that they can't regress him anymore. So the blood on his nose and the blood on his arms was because of the age regression.
But now, how old was he really? 60s, 70s?
Oh, I think actually he was late 70s or in his 80s, Al, at the time.
Right. Now, supposedly he was born in 1927. If he died in 2011, he was a pretty old guy.
Oh, very, yes. And you could see him in the picture, too. He's not exactly young.
So that would sound like a reasonable thing. But then, of course, if he was involved in the Philadelphia experiment, he would have been 16 years old at that time.
No, yeah, he claims he was in his 20s, late 20s, when he was on the Eldridge, in different form.
You can get dizzy from this.
Yeah, I know. Almost a decade of this, and that's why I still try to stay very grounded. I keep an open mind to the men who want to tell me these stories, because I think it's interesting, at the very least, it's interesting that they're telling this tale. And that another thing that's interesting to me is that the gentlemen in my film, the main subjects, have perpetuated this story for a very long time. They've been under heavy ridicule. They have not made, in most cases, no money at all. They haven't made any money. It's curious to me as to why they consistently tell this tale. If it's not true, you think the natural propensity of somebody who's being bombarded with ridicule would just to stop and gracefully fizzle out. But they're not doing that. They keep telling this story.
Now, Preston Nichols wrote a number of books about Montauk Project, Philadelphia Experiment, and everything. But none of those books really took off?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure since my movie's been out, I know the movie's caught a lot of attention. So I'm sure the books are selling because, you know, people's natural way is to want to ingest as much information as possible. So I suspect that a lot of books have been sold in recent years, you know, because they want to get as much information from Preston as they possibly can. But Preston has so many tales to tell. What I got from all of this was, and my personal belief after this many years following this story, is that I think something did happen at Camp Hero. Maybe not to the magnitude of what has been told, because what a wonderful way to conceal this conspiracy, especially if runaway kids were being kidnapped for mind control experiments and murdered. Wouldn't it be great just to implant people's minds with the aliens and the time travel and the interdimensional travel to Mars? Not saying that that's not possible, but if these men are out there telling every science fiction tale possible, then I guess the idea would be that no one is to believe them or take them seriously. I think it's quite possible that there was a mind control experiment there. In fact, I believe there was. Because it's in line with the atrocities committed by the governments around the world and our own country in regard to MKUltra and in regard to the Tuskegee experiments. We've done this before, so it really sounds very similar to those things, and I wouldn't put it past them during that time period. There were a lot of missing kids around the country during that time and that have never shown up again, and there was no corpus delicti. Why not? And that's what I'm leaning towards at the end of all of this.
You have this military base, which is kind of out of the center of the town. It's a little bit isolated.
Correct.
So it seemed to be, logically speaking, a good place to do Operation Paperclip and later MKUltra. As a matter of logic, not necessarily as a matter of fact. We're stretching it there. And the same thing would be true here for stretching the Philadelphia experiment. If they did go forward through time from 1943 to, what, 1983?
Yes.
That military base was in operation before then. So how does it become connected?
Again, I can't, I'm not going to sit here and support those claims. In fact, I didn't cover the Philadelphia experiment in my movie because I couldn't find the connection. But these are things that Alfred Bielek and Preston Nichols, these were tales that they were telling that are unconfirmed. I went out and started fresh to find my own evidence and find the things I needed to find. And what I focused on in this picture was the Montauk Boys Program, as they called it, where these kids were allegedly taken and brought to the facility. And another subject of my film, Stuart Swerdlow, claims to have been one of those children that were brought to the facility, experimented upon, and used for a variety of brutal experiments, which we've proven to have occurred earlier. In regards to the Philadelphia experiment, once again, Al Bielek claims that it has a correlation not only in the technology. I guess the scientists developing it also transferred over to Brookhaven Labs in Montauk, but the fact that there's got to be some kind of energetic connection between Philadelphia Experiment and Montauk because the Eldridge appeared just off the coast in 1983. I'm not saying this happened, and I don't want it to sound like I'm saying, because how could we confirm this?
Right. Yeah, it'd be pretty unusual to have a ship all of a sudden appear and then disappear. Somebody would see that. Well, why don't you give our listeners a bit of a background on Preston Nichols? He's quite an enigmatic person. I remember seeing an interview with him in the early 90s, and I've never seen somebody so fidgety and almost twitchy. Constant itch, scratching, you know, just writhing in his chair. He seemed peculiar to me. Why don't you give our listeners a little background on him?
Well, in regard to Preston Nichols, I didn't know much about Preston when I started in 06, and that was good. I wanted to start fresh. So I show up at Preston's home in upstate New York in 06 for the first time. I interviewed Preston twice. The interview that you'll see in my film that's out there right now is the one I shot in 2013 when I went back. But when I first met Preston, you know, he was a hermit in the greatest sense of the word. He lived alone. He had this giant house, but there was electronic remnants and junk everywhere. There was a big old bus in the backyard, empty, and weeds growing everywhere. Once he went inside, he called it his lab. You get inside to the lab, and there's this bed with this makeshift series of lights above it and speakers and makeshift, you know, contraptions built everywhere. You know, it's like a mad scientist sticking things together.
Didn't he have like a Faraday cage over his bed at one point? Or
I'm not sure. I didn't see that myself. Mm. But I did see rows and rows of shelves of electronic equipment, archaic electronic equipment, radio equipment. Just so much stuff this guy was, you know, just hoarding and collecting. But inside the lab, he invited us to go into the healing machine, as he called it. And then he would put on the Doors, or he would put on Jimi Hendrix, and then these lights would come on, start flashing, and then he said it changes your DNA and, you know, restructures your DNA, and you'll be changed forever. Now, I went in the thing myself, and I still to this day don't, you know, I don't feel any different, but I'm not doubting what it can do. I just can't confirm it.
Let's do our break here, and then we'll pick up on this.
Sure.
We explore the ins and outs of the Montauk Project with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.